listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Oh, I can feel redemption on the wind. Forgiveness like the tide rolling in. Taking up the space where shame has lived. Receiving all that you died to give.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Kingdom Recovery. I'm Luann Linnegan, and I'm with...
James Wrench.
Hey, James.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good, good, good. So, okay, so how was your week?
Very hectic.
Yeah, I feel like the same way. But God is doing some things in my life for sure, and I'm sure he's doing them in yours. And doing this work with the Lord and on the radio really helps me during the week too, because it kind of like keeps me God conscious and, you know, in his presence. And you know, there's so many major decisions that need to be made. Sometimes not even like for our life, but for someone else's. You never prepare for certain things in your life until they start to happen. And having a relationship with God is so important. So important. I'm learning more and more.
Amen. And just, I mean, I just feel like the Holy Spirit wants me to pray for somebody out there who's been having chest pain, and we just pray, yes, Father, God, that you heal this person. In Jesus' name, I command that pain to leave him. In the name of Jesus, amen. I give you all the praise and all the glory, Lord.
Glory to you, Lord. Okay, so we've been talking about the 10th step. I just want to remind everybody, next week, usually Pastor Tom's on the third Friday of every month, but he's going to be on next week, so at the King's Table, the little talk that we do, and it's King Jesus, his table, with the topic of kingdom. A kingdom topic and how we think about it and process it in our life as kingdom citizens. So, and we do that with the steps, with the 12-step program also. And that's what God has given me to share with everyone listening and in Kingdom Recovery when I do that. And also with Coffee with Christ, which looks like God's starting that one up again, because I had gotten a phone call that some of the women in the jail, when they come out, they need a place. So I said, okay, I'm just going to show up. Whoever shows up, and I'll just praise be there, God. Right? Praise the Lord. So so if you're listening and you know about Kingdom Recovery, Coffee with Christ on Saturdays on Zoom, you can even contact me. I can give you the link to get onto the Zoom. It's a private Zoom, and we talk about the 24-hour-a-day book. It's a meditation, a thought, meditation and prayer for the day, and I give a little teaching on it, and then we open it up for discussion. And my number, if you want to get that information and join us, is 631-745-7980. And we also, we talk about how God's Word is, you know, how to walk out God's Word with that reading. So it's really helpful. A lot of people have grown. I have grown from doing that daily also. So if you want to be part of that, just call me. So step 10 is we continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. This step is really important because it helps us to continue to watch for our selfishness, our dishonesty and resentment and fear. And it says right out of the book that this is what the purpose is. It's continual vigilance, maintenance, freedom, so that we can continue to walk in our freedom and the peace and the serenity that God has already provided. If I start to use man-made ideas, beliefs, even resources before God, I lose my peace. I lose the freedom, because now I'm relying on something that's unreliable, basically. So, and it's really about not backsliding or, you know, slipping. when we maintain, you know, we have to maintain daily bread. God tells us that in the Lord's Prayer, we need to have His Word daily in our life. And this is a way of applying His Word and God consciousness in our life in the morning and at night. It says in the big book literature about when we retire, we review, when we wake up. So, and it's there for a reason. Usually, I'm going to say, you know, at night, things happen at night. Worst things happen at night. It's time to review, right? And in the morning, you know, we're fresh. We should be fresh for the Lord and in His presence. And that's what where the 11th step comes in. But that's why the 10th step is so important, because we're cleaning our heart out. We're cleaning any wreckage that we are creating in our lives or participating in, even in someone else's life. If I retaliate, that puts me in the wrong place. Puts me on, you know, like I'm not in God's presence. I'm not in His kingdom. And I have the ability today, through Jesus Christ, His sacrifice, He supplied me with everything I need to continue a life in the presence of God, in the kingdom of heaven, to walk in that freedom. Even when things come on me or someone else's feelings or emotion try to, you know, come at me, I can respond, right? And maybe in a negative way, and then I'll get a negative result because I'm feeding negative with negative, anger with anger, whatever it is, you know, resentment with resentment, and then you grow that fruit. If I find myself in that bad place, I can immediately do a 10th step. It doesn't have to be at night. It could be, sometimes I do it in the car when I'm impatient, because this is the fruit of perseverance. So I know as soon as like my I get quick tempered, or you know, I want it now, or things aren't moving, and I know, and usually it happens when my jacket gets caught on a knob. You know, it's like, oh, you know, because I'm moving faster than I probably should be. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm doing something faster than I should be, and it's a slow down moment. And the tenth step helps me to slow down and stand in the perseverance, in the patience, in that place where maybe I need to be yielding and taking captive the thought before I act out on what it is I want to do or say or even think. Change the thought, you know? And that's where gratitude, the power of gratitude comes in too. Like if I just start for a moment, just start praising and thanking the Lord, everything starts to change. And the 10th step can help me with that. So when we continue to take our personal inventory, and when we're wrong, we promptly admit it. And if I'm wrong, it could be that another person outright just tells me off. What could put me in the wrong is I might not even respond right away. Listen, I felt it today. I'm going to be honest. I felt it today. I'm like, well, you know what? I'm not going to talk to that person as much anymore. Like right there, I just went into, I was feeding exactly what, and I had to start repenting and say, Father, this person doesn't know. You know, they don't have the ability, because they don't know you in that way. They don't have the ability to be able to be patient, or, you know, to maybe in the natural for a little extent, but not in that long term. I know better, so I have to do better. Mm-hmm. So I had to repent and pray for that person, that their eyes would open and that they would see, maybe even through me being a power of example of just, you know, getting over that thing. Whatever it was that was trying to knock me down, you know. So the principle is perseverance. It's important that we have patience and tolerance, but patience and be committed to God's word in the situation, in even making the amends. He says, pray for your enemies, love your enemies. Go to the person that maybe you offended or offended you. We've practiced these things from 1 to 9. We practice these principles in all our affairs at this point. We should be able and willing to go and make an amends, even if it appears that the other person is the one at fault. But just the fact that we may be a little upset or whatever it is, we can go back and say, listen, you know, I'm sorry. How can I be of service? How can I help in this situation? What can I do? Whatever it is that we need to do to bring the peace and the love. All right, it's firmness of purpose. If I don't know my purpose, I can't stand firm on it. So, and that's where the relationship with God comes in through steps 1, 2, and 3. We build our relationship with God. We get to know who He is. And then 4 through 9 is really allowing the Holy Spirit to transform our minds, and then we become more and more like Him in His character, and believing in His virtues and His word, and being obedient, so that we can, when we make an amends, actually make an amends, which means fix the problem by not being part of it anymore. You know, like, okay, so I'm not going to be selfish. You know, not, you don't even have to tell the person you're not going to be selfish. You're just going to practice selflessness, you know, and that's how we're more effective that way. You know, I always tell my kids, and I've shared it on the radio, you know, it's easy to say I'm sorry, but try being you're sorry. It's a lot harder, because you actually have to be accountable for what it is you're sorry for and make a change in it in your life. So the principle is perseverance. And what's the problem? What's causing me to have to look at myself and maybe even make an amends or go help somebody and do something, get out of myself? It's usually selfishness and self-centeredness. That's the root of all the problems in my life. When I have a problem, it's because I'm either not getting what I want, or you're threatening what I have to take what I have. And it might not be, it's not always with material. It could be an emotion, you know? Mm-hmm. You're not listening to me. I'm not getting heard. I'm not being seen. And those things, and they're subtle, but they can come in and they want to kill, steal, and destroy everything in our life, because that's what the enemy does. So what is some of the things that I can do? I can pray. I can discuss it with another person, with God. I can make an amends, and I can go do service. If I can't make a direct amends with that person at that time, maybe they're not approachable. Go do some service. I've done that in the past. I do it now. It's very healing to help and to serve. And God knows that. That's why He calls us His servants, because He knows it's part of His loving. It's a loving process. It's not like, oh my God, I'm a slave. You go from slave mentality to serving mentality, which is so much different, because it's a desire to serve. It's a desire to honor and love. What is the promise of this? What is the fruit? What do we get? We should be getting emotional sobriety, sound-minded, Christ-minded, as we walk this out in all our affairs, if we're using these principles in all our affairs. So every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all our actions, and be the light so other people, you know. It says in the literature on page, where is it? 84. We have entered the world of the Spirit. Now, I was just sharing with James, you know, for years I've been doing this work in my life, you know, like the steps. Well, it was work then. Now it's just my lifestyle. It's a whole different mindset, because it's God-centered and it's just the way I walk today. But then I was like more of an effort. And I never knew what that meant, walking in, that I'm in the kingdom of God. I never understood it. Today, it means so much more when I read that you have entered the world of the Spirit. So by this time in the process, the steps are there by God, for God, basically, you know, just like the word, His word. Anything that's going to produce good fruit is from God. And if you utilize the program, even His word, the Bible, as it's meant to be used for His pleasure, for His purpose, for our lives, through the love relationship, you're going to get good fruit. You're going to get eternal fruit. And that's what this program can produce if you put God in the center of it, His word. It has to be rooted from His word, not just saying God, higher power. It has to be rooted from His word, because it's His word that's alive. It's His word that's the seed. It's His word, that's His will. So when I turn my care and my life over to the care of God, His will, what does that look like? It can't just look like I'm going to the mountains and I'm going to just, you know, sit quietly and just pray to whatever I want to think about. I have to get to know Him and who He really is. He is a person, and He has given us His will and testament to get to know him and develop a love relationship with him. So everything I read now, when I read the big book or even a commercial, I can find the kingdom. When I'm watching TV, I'm like, oh, that's just like the kingdom. Sometimes the commercials are like the kingdom, you know, like, or what the kingdom is not, you know. Yeah. But you can actually look at things through God's eyes, you know, and that's what that means. It's very simple. It's about allowing God to show you who he is and then seeing everything through who he is, you know, and his kingdom. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, the spirit of the world is very strong.
Yes, it is. So, okay, so it says in our literature also, and God talks about it too, that it helps us to continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once. We don't wait to remove them. And for me, that word remove means to deliver me from evil. You know, it's amazing. But, okay, so I'm in the program since 1991.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and it's been the last 13 years that I understand. I had all those other years not understanding how I'm interpreting this. So this is amazing to me, even still today. That awakening that I got, like, wait a minute, that means deliver me from evil, from sin. You know, I never knew it. I was just doing this. I don't even know what I was doing. And I hope I'm talking to somebody. Because it's okay. Because if you're listening, then God's obviously answering. Because I was there too. Where, like, okay, here I go again. You know, I have all this time. Or I don't drink. Or I don't drug. Or I'm not doing this or that. But why is my life still feel stuck? Why do I still fall into these traps of life? These emotions, these depressions. I don't have to do that anymore. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Right? So when these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends. And that's to confess to one another. God tells us in his Bible that we need to admit, right? Confess that we're a sinner. We need a Savior. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Amends quickly. Oh, and then make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. So that's important. And you can find that on page 84 of the big book. And that's the Alcoholics Anonymous book. So watching means to pay attention to thoughts, feelings, and motives. Take captive your thoughts, God says. We need to watch motives and feelings in our life because they're tricky, because they're unseen, you know, and that's where the enemy comes in. Because he's going to manipulate that, your motives and your feelings, right? And feelings are a fact.
Emotions, feelings, right? And emotions, that's, emotions are our feelings. Right. Work through feelings and thoughts.
That's right. And that's where the soul, that's why God, that's why we have to sanctify. We have to do it daily. Sanctify daily. Our
that's
thinking.
Why you feel fear.
That's right.
You feel anger.
Mm-hmm.
You feel these spirits, you know?
Yeah. Amen.
Lust, whatever.
Amen. And you know when, and God says, check the motives of our heart. It's a heart, it's saying it's a soul, a spirit and soul thing. You know, we got to make sure our soul and our heart are right, in line. Because then our body and our mouth, because it says that, well, I wrote this. When we watch the way we think and feel, the words and actions usually turn out right, righteously. Because we're yielding, we're stopping for a moment. We're taking captive. We're lining it up. Does this match with God? God's virtues, his values, his will, what he says about this emotion, feeling, situation, circumstance. You know, there is an answer for everything. Maybe not like direct, like, okay, you're going to get the third house on the left. But if you talk with God, you will know his nudging. You will know where you need to go. And how to flow. Ooh. I like when that happens.
And your own heart can deceive you.
Yes.
Very easily.
That's right. Yeah. That's why we have to check the motive and the thoughts.
Because I checked pretty hard. And I remember one time, there was a man, I would go over to his house, and he'd get very angry with his family, but it was him. He didn't realize it. And he would just take things wrong constantly. And I had this picture of Jesus sitting next to me in my car, and I was backing up. I kept praying, do you talk to him, Lord? But he really, like, had a really respected me. I was backing out of the driveway. I'm like, I'm going to talk to him tonight. I was totally convinced God wanted me to talk to him. And I looked at that picture, and the Lord looked at me through it. I don't know how to describe it, but I immediately seen everything inside of me that wasn't right, wanting to tell him. I mean, I couldn't see it.
Right.
And I have the original of that picture hanging in my room. And I prayed for 20 years since then. I would pray, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I look, just hoping maybe he would let me, because I think my heart's right. And I'll be like, show me if it's not. Because, man, I really was totally garbage in there. I didn't even realize what's going on. And I was praying and thought he really wanted me to talk to him.
But you see, when we ask, he will reveal it. Praise the Lord. Because he doesn't want us to hurt ourselves or another person. Amen. So, but you have to go with a sincere heart. Like, show me, Lord, if there's something going on.
And he gave me a vision where the guy was throwing sand on me. And in the vision, I instantly knew it was his words. And it was buckets of sand in my face. And I'm trying to talk, and I just kept getting sand. It's up to my knees. I'm just one bucket after another. And I reached down and picked one grain of sand up and tossed it over. And it just slowly lobbed over there, and when it landed on him, it crushed him. And the Lord said, if you want to walk in my authority that I want to give you, you cannot respond to anybody, no matter how they're yelling at you.
Amen. Amen. So we are only in control, this goes to show, of our own reactions, not the actions of others. So the way we react is really important. We need to slow down, right, before we respond. So the sooner we release resentments, the sooner we regain serenity, peace, and self-control. And that sound mind. That's what Jesus came to give us.
They say that's why you have two ears and one mouth.
Yeah. Amen. So we admit the exact nature of our wrongs. And that's what we practiced in step five. When we went and we saw what we were doing, how we were living with some, you know, another person will help you with that. Okay? So we want to continue that. And let me see what else that I have. I have little notes before I go into that. So when we promptly admit our wrong, don't let the sun go down. We talked about that last week. Don't let the sun go down if you are still angry. And then Ephesians 4:25-27 says, so stop telling lies, and we said that's living in denial. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all part of the same body, and don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. And it's not only anger, they're talking about anger here, but I find that don't sin by letting fear control you. Mm-hmm. Gambling, drinking, resentments. We can put anything in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Lust,
guilt, you know, shame. So we just have to check those things, because we're going to allow guilt to respond, or anger to respond, and we give them permission, those spirits, and when I say them, those spirits, to dictate our lives, to have the power that God should have in our heart, sitting on the throne of our heart. Who's sitting at the throne of our heart? You know? So do not, let me read, we ended last week at Romans 12:2-3. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's your soul, your will, your thoughts, emotions. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly. And that's where pride comes in, arrogance, selfishness, self-centered, than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. And that's Christ-minded, right? In accordance with the faith but on the word, but on the word and in, oh, sorry, accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. So he's distributed to each of us according to the faith that we have, the level of faith. And that's why grace and mercy is so important, because there are people that God has more grace and mercy in certain things for me, because I don't know yet my level of faith, or another person. Like I had to conform to God's will today because I knew better. Mm. I didn't have to say anything or ask that other person or tell that other person that hurt my feelings. I didn't have to say any of that because it would have caused more harm. You know, I had to get over it with the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
So Philippians 2:12-13 says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, and this is how we love, as you have always loved, right? Obedience says, who, you know, when we obey God's commandment, those are the ones who love. He could see who loves him, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. Continue to work out your salvation. We were talking about that. And your salvation with fear and trembling. Let me see. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. So once we know what God's purpose is, for creating each and every one of us, it makes our living, well, for me, I know why God created all of creation unto himself, to expand the kingdom of God, to set the captives free, to do all these things. Once we understand the mandate, then our life gets a lot more simpler. It really does. You're not running around like a chicken without a head, trying to figure out where you belong, what you need to be doing. You just read his word and he gives you the directions.
Yeah, you want our relationships. That's what we're created for.
Amen. Yeah, love.
If
love
the devil when it came in, we wouldn't need to.
Amen.
Like cast out demons and all this
and
stuff.
And we can't even do that, really. I mean, we can, but the effectiveness of that is nil without the relationship, the love. You know, like to do it unto the Lord. If it's only between you and the Lord, that relationship alone sets captives free. You know, and then to be able to, you know, the most effective ministry work that I've ever done was through discipleship, getting to know somebody and walking with them. You know what I'm saying?
Even in deliverance, the same way. I just tell them.
That's right.
I usually say, if you want, I'll tell you, I can hear manifestations in your voice, even if you don't know. Or I was like, it's not what you're saying. But when I discern that, we'll stop and pray each time. You know, and the first few times, they're always like, well, no. I'm like, no, it has nothing to do with what you're saying. I was like, there's a spirit manifested. Let's find out where it come in.
Amen.
And working like that with people is like, I've seen more results, people getting free of.
That's right.
Deeper things.
Amen. Because there's a greater understanding. Then the darkness goes away and light starts to come into the heart and fill those places. You know, can't just, it says in the Bible, if you cast out the demon, he'll go back and get seven more to fill the room, even though you cleaned it up. But if you don't fill it up with God's word and
break
his,
the rights, the reason why it's there, you know?
Amen.
Like, especially bitterness is most common. But when I said that, I was thinking of one person that I remember the first time, I'm like, you're manifesting, I don't forget what you're saying. I just, there's a spirit manifesting in you, I can hear it. It's like, do you want prayer or not? Well, I guess so. I'm like, Lord, show her this, come in. She starts crying in second grade. This kid did something to her.
Amen.
She had no idea that was lurking in there for.
Yeah.
Repented, and that's the one that got delivered of a lot of diseases.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So God's word is the solution to all circumstances, every situation, all your affairs, good or bad. Sometimes even good things that are going on, we need to be God conscious and continue to apply his word in those situations, not only when the bad things happen. You know, it's through life, good and bad. God tells us there's going to be trials in our life. There's going to be tests that, you know, testing our faith. You know, are we going to be standing on him? on his word and his will, even when things really look dark. So salvation from bondage of sins of sin is an one-time gift. However, we need to be continually built up, level to level, by the Holy Spirit of God through the washing, purifying of his word and time with him in your life. Sanctification is continual. So we get salvation, we get saved, right? But now we need to continually sanctify our soul, our minds, our mood, our will, emotion, because we're going to, by nature, because look at how many years, you know, we're exposed to the world and the ways of the world and the influences of the enemy. It's going to take a while to renew that, you know, as we step into situations and we apply God through our relationship with God. We build our experience with God, right? We build our love relationship with him. We trust more. We love more. We rely more, you know, on him and his will. Then we can, our mind gets renewed.
Yeah, and deliverance, we call them landing strips.
Mm-hmm.
If you can renew your mind and get rid of the landing strips, then fear has no place to land, or rejection has no place to land.
That's right.
It's renewing our mind.
It will find somebody. So don't be that person to land on. Amen. So sanctification is continual, to be set, and what does it mean? To be set apart as holy, godly, to be dedicated to God, spirit, soul, and body, purify, sanctify us from free of sin. So that's why the 10th step is so important, because the 11th step is about being in a sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact. It's very hard to go in front of anyone. I mean, I know through my own experience, when I was filled with guilt, shame, remorse, envy, jealousy, all those things, even if it tries to come on me a little bit, it's uncomfortable today. But I was living a life like that. And it was hard to be face-to-face, look somebody in the face when you had a secret. You know, and there's lies in there that nobody knows about. You can't look the world in the face. You can't look the person in the face. You can't look God in the face. How could you have a relationship if you can't even look at somebody? Honestly. I mean, you might physically be able to, but spiritually it's hard. You're hiding.
And there's different things that can make people do that, though. Sometimes they just have fear of man, fear of rejection, and they can't look in your eyes. Just
okay, but that's still...
No, I'm just saying,
yeah,
they're not.
Yeah.
Even though they're hiding something. I had a pastor that really loved God and did more for people than... And another friend of mine, I'm like, you need to meet him. Oh, he thinks he's better than you. He won't look at you. And I'm thinking, that's nothing, that he doesn't think you're better than you. It's insecurity and fear of man.
So, okay, yeah.
I'm just saying, you never know the heart. Yeah. Just because they're not looking at you don't mean they have a sin in there, even though if they do, it will make them do that.
Yeah, but
I'm saying...
What I mean is, what I'm saying is, I was able to look you in the face, but I was a liar.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, so that's what I mean. Like, in me, I knew. In the person knows, like, you know, I'm really a slight phony a little bit, because maybe I flirted with that person's boyfriend or whatever. You know, I'm talking like when I was younger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I understand you.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. But you're right.
I just don't want people listening to start judging people.
Oh, yeah. No, no, no.
They may just have fear issues.
Amen. That's in a whole other spiritual warfare. But you're right. So, like, sometimes, you know, we manifest... There's certain positions people take, you know, when it's pride. You know, there's certain other things that come in when you really start to...
If you cross your arms, jerk your head back and say, well, let me tell you. That's pride that's at all times.
Amen. So freedom and liberty and sanctification from sin. This step allows us to reflect. And that's the mirror, to look and throw back... what does it mean to reflect? It says throwing back by a body or surface of light, heat, fire, or sound without absorbing it. So we get, it bounces off of us, which is good. Heat, because sin is combustible. That's what's really burning. But when you're free of sin, you can stand in the fire with the Lord.
Amen.
Amen, right? Amen. So take serious thought. sound-minded thought to meditate on your daily walk with Christ and others daily. And when we find we have stepped out of His will, His nature, we can, if we choose, to promptly admit, confess, repent, change directions, your way of being, by believing Jesus Christ lives in me, the hope of glory lives in you. If you're a believer of Jesus Christ, hope of glory is in you. Hallelujah. So it's I am is in you. And make amends, take action. In doing so, we can be free from bondage. We can be loose from the old way of thinking, that bounded way, chains in our mind of thinking, the bondage of sin. And then we can be of service unto God and to others. 11 and 12 is about service. It's about being with the Lord, getting directions to go and serve others in 12. So we continue to be able to look God, self, and others face to face. And that's in step 9. We talked about that. Being able to look others with a true, pure heart. You know, I didn't do anything. I'm here to offer myself to you. So 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's what we're talking about, to confess, to speak it out. I'm guilty of whatever it is. Of believing, it's always like we're believing a lie. When we're being influenced, it's because we're believing a lie to be true about either ourselves or about another person. You know, and God doesn't make junk. So we have to remember that even when someone's acting like junk, it's not who God created that person to be. They're obviously under the influence of junk.
The person you can't stand the worst, God loves. Yes. As much as He loves each one of us, even as a political leader.
Yeah.
He loves us all.
Yes. Yes, He does. And thank God for that, because I was one of those people on the other side.
And we all were.
Yeah. Amen. So James 5:16 says, therefore confess your sins in each other to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. That's amazing. Right there is a healing. You know? The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective, but there's the key. A prayer of a righteous person. Are you living right? Are you living unto the Lord? Are you keeping His commandments? It's very important, because it not only does He say, you know, He says to keep them. That means to obey them, to do them. So we are created in the image of God. Genesis 1:27 says, so God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female. He created them. And 1 Corinthians 13:11-13 says, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Hallelujah. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. This is about also spiritual maturity. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And God says, those who love Him keep His commandments. And it's so important that we know that. Because we can run around and say, I love God, but I'm going to live the way I want. That's not an expression of love. He knows us by our expression of love. And the expression of love is my lifestyle. What am I saying? What am I thinking? How am I acting? Is it lining up with who He is?
Walking in forgiveness.
Walking in forgiveness. So as I come out of the bushes, you know, we all, and hopefully everybody here, and become more and more transparent, right? We want to be transparent, because everything pure is like clear, liquid, pure. You could see through it all. There's nothing distracting or blocking the view of purity. So we should be doing that too. Transparent, the naked truth with God, and seen fully clothed in His righteousness. So we need to put on Christ, the love of God. And what does naked truth mean? It means plain, unadorned facts, without concealment or embellishment. For example, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to say this example because I guess it's an old like tale. It says, "What I've told you is the naked truth." This expression supposedly alluded to a fable in which truth and falsehood went bathing together. So truth and falsehood went bathing together. Falsehood then dressed in truth's clothes, and truth, refusing to take another's clothes, went naked. Isn't that awesome? Mm. That's so good. I had to share that with you guys because that's something that you'll remember. Rather than put anything on, I'd rather stay naked in the truth, praise the Lord, than cover myself with something. Amen. So outline, okay, so what is the outline for when we talk about kingdom recovery, when we talk about experiencing God, being in his presence, walking out the word in our life? It is repent. That's the spirit on me. I know God's word. I know him. I ask Jesus to come into my life. I know Jesus. I receive Jesus. I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And that's really steps 4, 1 through 4, where I give up, I surrender, you know? And then there's restore, and that's the spirit in me, understanding God's word. So I know God's word, now I'm starting to understand God's word, and that means comprehend his word, right? And that's Holy Spirit, and I seek God. So I ask, I seek, and then it's reign. Revelation, the wisdom of God's word applying in my life. Hallelujah. The Father's word in my heart, no matter what it looks like, no matter what's happening, it's his word no matter what. And that's when I knock. So we reign over the circumstances and situations of our life. We get to do that. All because what Jesus did for us. I'm reading the word, I read Leviticus, like, you know, different sections of the Bible every day. I started something. And it's so good. It's just so good the way, because it lines up, they all line up. The old, the new, Proverbs, and the Psalms. Mm-hmm. It's like so good. And I'm like, it's becoming more and more clear to me. But it's all about this. It's all about, even in the Old Testament, you know, God revealing his love to us, his direction. You know, he wouldn't do anything without inviting us to do it with him. And he would go, and he always gives an invitation. It's up to us to, and I keep sharing this, so I probably will teach it, adjust our lives to fit in his work, you know? And that's the hard part, because what are you willing to give up? You know?
Everything.
Right? So Second John 8 says, watch out that you do not lose what we have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. So do not choose to backslide. That means slip, like we were talking, and fall back into sin, causing you to lose your anointing. When I say anointing, and it's true, because we have been saved, but we have to fill up every day with the Holy Spirit. It's the anointing that goes out and heals, and it's not us, it's the anointing power of the Holy Spirit in us overflowing through us. Okay, because we can feel dry, we can feel quenched as the Holy Spirit is, like, you know, even when we're going out there and laying hands and people do it, there's it's not the same fulfillment, it's not the same wholeness that you feel. So do not choose to go back into bondage of sin, because we can do that, sickness and disease, just by agreeing with the enemy. You know, we can, sin, I always say, that's spirit. Sickness, that means spirit is, you know, being grieved or not in step with the spirit. Sickness is my mind when I'm not thinking properly, and disease is my body being affected. So spirit, soul, body. God puts it all through the Bible, how our wholeness can be affected. Spirit, soul, and body, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So do not choose to go to darkness, by ignorance, by not spending time with God and His Word. You know, we want to get to know Him. And when we act like, you know, we know Him and we really don't, that's pride. Or if we don't, if we say we're doing things and we're not, we need to stay in the light of knowing His wisdom, His understanding of God. And the only way to do that is to stay in step with the Holy Spirit, to meditate on the Word, sit with the Word, worship. All these things are given to us to build us up, to fill us up, to overflow us so that we can be infectious and effective in the world with the kingdom of God. Through our hands, through our mouth, through our eyes, through our ears, through our natural senses, He wants our spiritual senses to flow through our natural senses so that we can sound like Him, look like Him, act like Him. So Ephesians 4:29, oh, so do not choose to grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:29-32 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Hallelujah. So we must not overlook and continue to watch. We must continue to watch. Exercise care, caution, and restraint. Our natural human, listen, the natural instincts versus spiritual instincts. You know, our stamp, it says we're sealed. Our identity, our character, our thoughts, our attitudes, the words, behaviors, and values. We need to watch for that. Check, be vigilant about our motives and our thoughts, right? So that we can stay righteous with God, with Him. Because when I'm not with God, then I'm not with righteousness. Because God is righteous. He's what makes me righteous. His Spirit makes me righteous, makes me be able to be righteous. Hallelujah. So 2 Timothy 2:19 says, nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, the Lord knows those who are His, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. So step 10 allows us to reflect that mirror, right? And to take serious thought and to meditate on His Word daily, to walk with Him. Step 10 gives us the ability to do that. When we consciously look at ourselves and say, okay, these are the things that are keeping me from expressing and experiencing love in my life with another person and with God. And that's really what it's doing. And it's allowing us to clear the wreckage, clean up our side so that there's a flow. The Holy Spirit can flow properly and not be grieved. Because other people might need to experience God. Go ahead, James. Go for it.
Yeah, I just want to share because I could just
hallelujah.
Hear the people out there. Look at her calling herself righteous.
Oh,
so the Bible says, amen. It's Romans 5:19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. See, we have no problem with that. I'm a sinner. Yeah, I was born a sinner. You're made a sinner from Adam. So we have no problem. The enemy doesn't bother us at all to say we're sinners. And the next part of the verse says, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So He made us righteous.
Amen.
So we're made righteous.
That's right. Through the Holy Spirit.
So Amen. Just speak you're righteous.
That's right. You're holy. You're righteous. You're healed.
Start believing you're righteous.
You're prosperous.
And that's a lot of times we speak the problem too much.
Amen.
Instead of the righteousness.
That's right.
Remember that guy called in that time when we were on the Zoom on the Coffee with Christ thing?
Yes. Go ahead.
And he'd been delivered to barbiturates, drinking. He's like, I just can't put the smoking down. I've tried and tried and tried. I said, well, every time you light that cigarette, say thank you, Lord, for delivering me a smoking.
Amen.
Every puff. Thank you, Lord, I am delivered. Because the anointing backs up the word of God.
That's right.
The anointing backs up what the blood bought.
That's right.
If you're just claiming things with no scripture, you're not seeing anything. And that's where a lot of Christians have a problem. They don't understand faith. Faith's believing God's promise over the circumstance.
That's right.
He says, by his stripes you're healed, and the doctor says you're going to die, like he did me. So, believe you're righteous. Start claiming you're righteous, and you'll start seeing things fall off. And sometimes you have to break generational things or whatever.
Right. But
forgiveness is...
The more you declare it...
Yes.
Right. And the enemy knows it. The more, that's why the motive, the convincing of the heart is so important. He said, love me with all your heart, your soul, you know, your strength, everything. But, you know, we can confess, but we have to believe.
And righteous is in right standing with God.
Mm-hmm. And the more you confess, because it's through the confession, the hearing, the faith grows. So the more you say it, so whatever you're saying, you're going to start to faith in. So if you're saying negative, you're going to faith in the negative thing. If you're saying positive, you're going to faith in the positive. So find the word in the word of God, in the Bible, that goes against, covers, right? Because all of God's word is love. So find the love that God has written to us to cover that negative thought, that negative word, that negative belief that you're declaring or that you're thinking about or that you're believing. And every knee shall bow. So eventually the enemy knows that you're transformed. You're not believing his lie anymore. So he's going to flee.
Just look at it like this. And it's true. You're prophesying over yourself.
You are.
Amen. Oh, flu season's coming. I get sick every year. I'll probably strep throat again.
Yeah. And, you know, and it's very easy to fall into that, especially when you have kids in school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the parents start calling on this, that. You can just declare, oh, no, I declare. So they need to hear that kind of talk. People around us at work need to hear someone say, I'm righteous. I'm holy. The word tells me. God tells me. Praise the Lord.
And so are you, if you know the Lord.
That's right.
Because we're not better than anybody. No. That's where pride comes in, when you think you're better than anybody else.
Amen. And you could even tell that person, if you know the Lord, you are too. Exactly.
And made righteous also.
Amen.
Because if you don't know you're made righteous, you won't come boldly before the throne. You won't see any results. When you come boldly before the throne, or when you go boldly and cast out demons, when you go boldly and heal the sick, be healed in Jesus' name instead of Lord and begging 3 hours.
Yeah, you don't have to do a big prayer. It's when you'll start seeing results. Right. You just declare it. Say it. It's very simple. Jesus didn't go through a whole bunch of stuff because he knew who he was, and he knew what his purpose was, and he knew God. He knew the Father and what the Father was doing. And the enemy knows when you know.
Yeah, and he knows when you don't. Some people that never seen healing till 3 months ago, and all kinds of healing, and
yeah.
Been breaking out. But I just told him, keep it really simple, real, real simple.
Amen.
I said, long prayers never get answered. I never seen anybody healed over a long prayer.
Amen. So stand until we see the image of God face to face, no distortion in the mirror. We're talking about it right now, as he sees me. I see me as he sees me. You see you as he sees you, who's ever hearing this. So find out how God sees you. He loves you. You're wonderfully, beautifully made. You're righteous. You're holy. You're healed. You're prosperous. Right? You're redeemed. Hallelujah. Receive it today. Receive it. Matthew 3:17 says, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son. Talking to you right now, who's ever listening, everybody listening, right? In whom I am well pleased. So it is good. Psalms 119:71 says, it was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. So by continuing our personal inventory, we can remain in right, good standing with God, ourselves, and others. It prepares us for 11-step daily bread. See, we're not even supposed to take communion without being right. That's what daily bread is. So step 10 helps us repent, clean up.
Or give an offering.
Or give an offering, right.
Leave your offering there. And if you have
all, that's right.
If your brother has all with you.
That's right. So we sought through prayer and meditation with God to improve our conscious contact with him and others. So step 11 is to be in his presence. It's very good to be in his presence. We continue to sort through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious content. That's what it says. But I can't do that if my heart is all full of muck, right? So we'll just pray. Everybody, want to pray, James?
Father, we thank you for this time. Father, help us to see ourselves the way you see us, that you have put us in right standing to be able to come and be boldly before your throne. Father, you want relationship, that we're not worms, that we are sons and daughters of the Most High. Help us to walk in sonship, Father. And Father, I ask you to heal everyone on this that can hear this, Lord. We ask you to bring healing to your people, Lord. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. And anyone that needs deliverance, just go to the Lord. You know, confess your sin. Talk to another person, someone that's following Christ. You're listening to Kingdom Recovery. We're so happy to be here and teaching and learning. And next week, Pastor Tom will be here to be at the King's Table with a topic of, you know, kingdom mentality, how we walk out God's word in our life. And we're just grateful that we get this opportunity to be able to share the word with everyone in a way where it's relatable and people can feel safe. And if you do need to talk to someone, you can call me, 631-745-7980. Thank you.
God bless.
God bless you all.
Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980.
All the glory to the God of life. All the glory to the God of love.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Hi, this is Dr. Gerard Curry of Tradition Worship Center in Port St. Lucie. Our program Extreme Faith airs on WCNO Monday through Friday at 7:15 a.m. and again at 7:15 p.m. We are a Word and Spirit church, and not only do we believe in miracle signs and wonders, we experience them as well. According to Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You can build your faith for your miracle today. Creation.
nations to our praise.